Yes.
Blog Talk Radio.
I don't know, oh, where to begin. We are North Americans, and for those of you who still think we're from England, we're not, no. We've been all playing.
What's going on? It's your boy, Rob, boy Dre. Getting ready to do sports talk, talking sports with 12 men. Today is June the 8th. 2011, welcome you guys to the show.
What's going on, worldwide web?
I love it. Kind of a delay in the music, but it's still good. You know, we're working on the kinks, obviously, but we'll get the show down. A lot of things to talk about today. Let's talk about Terrell Pryor. I think he's going on with that. Let's talk a little also about, obviously, NBA playoffs. In the top five college football. We'll see how everything plays out from there, but at this juncture, we will go from there. So, anyway, Rob, I guess you can kick us off and talk a little bit about what's going on with Terrell Pryor.
Also, keep in mind, we're going to talk about running backs in the draft and maybe even address the NFL lockout if we have time.
Yeah. So obviously, we've got a full-packed show, but I guess let's start off with the big news in that Terrell Pryor is no longer with the Ohio State University, and I don't think this was a shock to anybody. But just, I think it's kind of messed up. I'll let you elaborate, Robert, because here was a guy who was the number one prospect in high school just a couple years ago, and wow, how quickly has someone fallen? So you want to go ahead, care to elaborate on that situation and kind of what's next for Ohio State and even Terrell Pryor?
Yes, I don't think it's any surprise, like you said. I think we even briefly discussed this on last week's show, is that I will be shocked if he's not in the supplemental draft. So, and I think, you know, that's where he's going to wind up. He's going to be in the supplemental draft. I say at best, if he's going to be taken in the supplemental draft, I see him as being a fifth, sixth-round selection in the supplemental draft. He still got issues with accuracy. You know, he's 6'6", about 230 pounds. He has the size similar to Cam Newton, but he's not as further along as Cam Newton is as a passer. And so, and there's even some talk that some teams may even try Pryor out as a wide receiver, similar to what some teams did with Matt Jones when he came out of Arkansas. There may be a team that takes a chance on him in a supplemental draft, but I think it'll be a fifth, sixth, seventh round kind of selection.
You know, you made a good point. You know, I definitely think that I don't think he's going to go in as a quarterback at this juncture. You know, I've heard a lot of things that he wasn't really a leader at Ohio State. He kind of alienated a lot of these seniors. And, you know, it's tough coming in as a quarterback in the league with a lot of pressure that you have as far as, you know, learning your offense. And then you got to add that piece of the puzzle too. I mean, certain things I don't think are taught, you know. So, you know, I agree with you. It's going to be definitely a late-round pick. But I'm just shocked, like I said, that here was a guy that he had the whole world, all these scholarship offers to a lot of different schools. And you know, like I said, he was the number one rated, you know, prospect coming out of high school, if not 3 years ago. So it's just amazing how – now we're not even sure if he's going to be how he's going to even make it in the NFL, you know?
Exactly.
But interesting point, and as far as the Ohio State program, you know, we're going to see how the sanctions are going to go down as well. And I'm going to try to do a quick little segue, too. What do you think about USC losing that championship for 2004? Did you hear about that as well?
Yeah, I don't think it's any surprise at all. We kind of saw that coming. And I think we will always remember them winning it on the field. But I think it's just something that is just going to be removed from the record books. But I don't think individuals that are college football fans are going to forget, you know, how that team played on the field.
Yeah.
So So it's an unfortunate situation that I'm sure, you know, if it is just the Reggie Bush situation, it's unfortunate for the rest of the team that one player will cause that.
Yeah, true indeed, true indeed. All right, well, I guess switching gears now, let's talk a little bit more about the NBA playoffs. Obviously, the series are tied 2-2 with Dallas pulling out an amazing win, seeing how the Heat were in control of that, you know, the game pretty much all the quarters, but they just kind of lapsed near the end there. So any thoughts about that, and do you think the Heat are still favorites to kind of pull this out?
Yeah. My personal prediction is that Miami will win the next two games and win the series 4-2. But,
wow.
You know, they still have to play the games. And you know, Miami, for whatever reason, in two of these, there are two losses. It seems that one time or another in those games, they had the game at hand and just did not finish strong. And for some reason, LeBron James has carried them all throughout the first three rounds of the playoffs, and Dwayne Wade was struggling. Now it's just the reverse opposite in the finals, is that Wade is carrying them, and James is struggling now. So, I mean, you just wonder how good they could be if they both get it going.
Now, do you think the reason why LeBron is struggling, because, you know, I think Dallas is kind of throwing different defenses at him. They're throwing like a little zone defense at him a little bit to kind of prevent his slashing ability, or you think more or less it's just kind of, he's just kind of struggling, if you will?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think Dallas is doing a phenomenal job defensively. And you got to give a lot of credit to Rick Carlisle. I think Rick is he's one of the better coaches in the league. And Dallas has really improved their defensive play. I mean, you go back a few years ago, they were a team that was considered just to be a run-and-gun kind of team. He's come in, added a defensive philosophy, went and got some players that can play defense too, like Sean Marion, Tyson Chandler, athletic guys, Deshaun Stevenson. And maybe not elite scorers, but they're guys who are going to get out and defend. And they're doing a great job on LeBron James. That's definitely for sure. And
yeah.
But I do think LeBron has not been as aggressive as he normally should too. So I think it's a little bit of both.
A little bit of both, yeah.
But,
and like I said, yeah, it's been amazing for this game. Go ahead, I'll let you finish your thought. Go ahead.
But I do think somehow, some way, Miami will win tomorrow night and they'll win Sunday night and finish the series off and be world champions.
Wow. Interesting. I mean, like I said, just it was an amazing to see, because, you know, the way that the Heat have been playing, it does kind of seem like, man, they haven't, like, I don't know if they don't have that killer instinct yet, or is it kind of Dallas kind of playing up to, you know, just kind of making some good runs, if you will. But, you know, you don't want to let sleeping dogs lie. You definitely want to kind of get rid of them before anything comes back to haunt them, because, you know, I know Dallas is probably preaching the same exact thing in their locker room. Like, we got them down. Let's try to come back and do some stuff, if you will. So definitely interesting turn of events, if you will.
Exactly. Yeah, but it's been some great games in this series. So, I mean, the last three games have all been decided by 2 or 3 points. And Dallas is playing extremely well. Dirk Nowitzki is playing well. Even though I'm predicting Miami win the next two games, but Dallas is really playing strong.
Good deal, good deal. All right, well, I guess let's switch gears here, and let's talk about let's jump into the NFL. We'll talk about the top running backs here, the rookie class, and you know, obviously it's been. You know, we're still upset. I'm still upset because, being an NFL fan, I wish they would hurry up and get the lockout finished. But it still allows us to talk about some recaps and some stuff, too. So, you know, from your vantage point, obviously, let's talk about some top backs that you think coming out. And I'm going to give a quick shout-out. As much as I am not a rival for your Saints, I got to say that I definitely think that was a great pickup in Mark Ingram. And I think he definitely has a chance to be have a pretty good season coming in to playing with the Saints.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. Not trying to be too biased as a Saints fan, but obviously he was the only only running back taken in the first round. So I think you have to look at him first as having the most impact as a running back. And, I could see the Saints giving him the ball 15 to 20 times even as a rookie, believe it or not. So, and if you look at the Saints Super Bowl season, they were sixth in the NFL in rushing. Last year they dropped all the way down to 30th. And I think that was a big difference in their offense. So they had to sign a lot of guys off the street, like Julius Jones and Ladell Betts. Had injuries to Reggie Bush, Pierre Thomas, Chris Ivory. So I think he adds a little bit of stability to the team, the running back, and also gives them a little depth if some of those other guys can stay healthy. So I think. He's an obvious selection as far as running backs concerned, but I think there are some other guys that are also going to have an impact on their team, like Miguel LeSueur, of course, second round pick, Detroit Lions. I think comparing him up with a Javid Best could give Detroit a good 1-2 punch for the years to come in the NFL. And I'll even say I like the kid that the Falcons took and give the Falcons a slash kind of running back, that come out of the backfield and catch the ball, change the pace kind of back. Obviously, Michael Turner is still going to be the workhorse, but I think he's another guy that can come in and, give you somebody that can catch the ball out of the backfield. Similar to what Jerry Norwood used to be able to do with Falcons. But he's another guy that I think that will probably improve you guys' team as well.
Yeah, you talked about Jaquizz Rodgers as well at this juncture. So basically, great pickup for the Falcons. And whenever we picked them up, I don't know if you remember who was it with the Kansas City picked up, Dexter McCluck, who was it? McCluster, if I'm saying it correctly.
Yes.
That was the guy we were projecting to get him last year, and we actually missed getting him. But Jaquizz Rodgers, and that was probably one of the most exciting pickups that every Falcon fan was on, because we were excited because, like you said, Jerry Norwood, obviously, for whatever reason, has not been able to stay healthy, and we missed that quick strike capability in the offense. So adding a player with Jaquizz Rodgers type of hopefully his potential, we're obviously excited because as I stop being biased towards the Falcons, if you will, we got to compete against the Saints, who are very explosive offensively. So you add another piece to that and kind of hopefully have a quick shot to strike ability, and hopefully let us spread the field and kind of make defenses stop keying on Tony Gonzalez or Roddy White. So hopefully we'll open up that, and obviously having a Julius Jones too. Another guy, I like a lot of running backs. It's kind of tough because, I definitely like Ryan Williams from the
Tech.
Yeah,
I can really see Ryan Williams. So Arizona, I think, was a great pick.
Yeah. He was a good pickup. Obviously playing at Virginia Tech, everyone may be a little down on the ACC, but, I think talent is talent. Another guy that I kind of like, that I don't think he's well known, but I was a big fan. He was a good freshman, Deion Lewis from Pittsburgh. I was a fan. I don't know what he's going to do in the NFL, but hopefully, I'm kind of curious to see what happens with him, because I think he had a lot of good vision, very similar to a Mark Ingram as far as vision and stuff like that. I'm not saying he's going to be, I don't think he's as, complete back to ship, but I just thought I was kind of impressed with him coming out as well, too. So, anyone else that you thought of that you wanted to add or anything like that you thought was going to have a nice little impact there?
Well, definitely Ryan Williams. I think he is going to add something to the Arizona's backfield. And if they can get Beanie Wells going, that's another team that you can easily say is going to have a strong 1-2 punch at running back. And Arizona has some questions at QB right now. They build a team around a running game. I think they will get a solid starting quarterback via trade or free agency.
I agree.
But right now they are. But right now they do have a strong, they can have a solid running game. And I think Ryan Williams is a guy that can play every down from the standpoint of He's a hard runner, but he's also has great hands out of the backfield. And one of the last from the back I'll comment on is Daniel Thomas from Kansas State. He's going to the Dolphins. It looks like it's pretty certain that they're going to lose Ronnie Brown. And so I think you're looking at a guy who's also going to get a lot of playing time to come in. Ricky Williams getting up in age. So I can see him coming in and getting a lot of carries as a rookie. And running back is probably the easiest position to play as a rookie in the NFL, too. And so you can see a lot of these guys kind of getting carries.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing everyone says, too, that, yeah, it's definitely one of the easiest positions to come into play. But continue, I'll let you finish your thought real quick.
Yeah, but I can definitely see him, with them losing Ronnie Brown, Ricky Williams up in age, I can see him getting a lot of carries and having an opportunity to succeed as a rookie as well. So I think those are some running backs to look out for in a rookie year. Mark Ingram, of course, Mekhi Lashore, Jaquez Rogers, Ryan Williams, and then, of course, Daniel Thomas.
Do you think there's another player, and it's hard to say this too, but do you think there's another player kind of similar to Adrian Peterson that can make that type of an impact that, like, you're like, wow, this guy is just literally just, you know, going to come in and just, you know, have some defenses really start focusing on him? Or you think it's going to take some time for somebody, like an impact back of that stature this year, if you will?
Now, I don't see any of these guys being that kind of back. I mean, coming in, Adrian Peterson, I mean, you're talking about a guy that came in and was pretty much as a Pro Bowl as a rookie.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, yeah, I don't know if we, John Gruden thinks that Mark Ingram can be a 1,500-yard running back. But, you know, I don't see the Saints are the kind of team that they're going to still mix in three or four different running backs. So, I mean, I can't see him putting up 1,500 yards, maybe 1,200, 1,100, 1,000, somewhere in that ballpark. So I don't really see anybody putting up Adrian Peterson kind of numbers.
Gotcha.
And, yeah, I don't see that kind of talent. I think Ingram will be a very good back, but I don't see Adrian Peterson kind of backing him.
Gotcha. Well, good stuff. All right, well, we're moving right along. I think we're making good time here, about 12 minutes remaining on the show. I guess if you want to switch gears and go and talk about the top five, let me know if you have anything else to wrap up with the running backs. If you have anything else to wrap up as far as that, or you want to jump into the top five for college football this season?
Yeah, we can move on to the top five. Yeah, I think we've pretty much covered the running backs.
Okay, good deal. Well, you know, obviously it's going to be an interesting season. The offseason has been one of the most interesting ones I think we've had in a minute, with obviously Ohio State and a lot of things going down. Auburn, you can talk about as well. So I guess the top five, this is Andre's top five right now. I'm definitely open to hear everyone out in the world I live kind of their thoughts as well. Maybe we'll post this a little later on. I've got Oregon, number one. Number two, I've got Oklahoma. Three, I've got Alabama. Number four, this is kind of interesting one. I got Stanford. I'm going to round it out, and this is going to make Robert happy. I've got five going to LSU. My outside, I've got Boise State, South Carolina, Wisconsin, can easily get the top five. But that's who I have going into the top five so far. So let's kind of
finish
to hear what Robert Ford has the top five. Kind of tough, you know.
Your top, I have the same five teams, but not necessarily in your order.
Okay.
But it's interesting that you and I have the exact same five teams in our top five.
Okay.
But not necessarily. One and two, we're exactly the same. I have Oregon one. I mean, you got to look at their returning quarterback. Michael James is coming back. And the only question I may have with Oregon next season, can they reshape their offensive line? I mean, they're losing some players on that line, and I know that's a critical piece of any football team. And but if they have some guys that can step in on that offensive line, I still have them number one, even with those question marks, just because of some of the skill position players they have coming back. Number two,
I
have Oklahoma.
And real quick, I have to cut you off, see if I can interject too. I'm just going to think about Oregon. Is they pretty much blew through everybody. That's the thing that's going to be interesting as well, if they can continue that pace. But, I may cut you off. Go ahead with what you got going on.
Oh, no problem. And I have Oklahoma number two as well. Landry Jones is a first-round, top-10 kind of NFL quarterback caliber, and they have a ton of talent, both sides of the football on that team. And I think they're playing in a weaker Big 12 as well. Nebraska's gone. Texas still a little down. I think they're going to have a cakewalk and probably might even have a strong chance of an undefeated season. Oklahoma State is a team that has really been playing them strong over the years. So that might be a team to give them some trouble. And plus, there's no Big 12 championship game this year with Nebraska going to the Big 10 and with Colorado going to the Pac-12. So that's one less game they have to win to secure a spot in the national championship game. I have Oklahoma number two. And this is where our start to change a little bit. I think you had Alabama 3. I actually have Stanford 3, believe it or not.
Okay.
I know it's kind of weird to have two Pac-12 schools in the top 3.
Where are we at? Where are we at? We're putting Pac-12s in there. Go ahead. That's amazing.
Yeah. But I think just having the quarterback, Andrew Luck, he's a surefire number one pick when he comes out. And he alone is the only reason why I have Stanford ahead of LSU and Alabama. LSU and Alabama will have all the talent on their teams, but maybe some question marks at QB. So that's the sole reason I put Stanford over those two teams. And just from the standpoint of Andrew Luck, and they have some pretty good, decent talent on their team. And the coaching, you know, they got a first-year head coach, so that could be a little bit of a concern. But I do have Stanford there at number three. At number four, I have LSU. And I think LSU and Alabama have similar talent on their teams. And the only reason I'm putting LSU over Alabama, Alabama starting a first-year quarterback. Jordan Jefferson, even though he's hit or miss, it looks like you have a great game and a subpar game. But at least he has the experience to playing in big-time games, you know, where Alabama's putting in a first-year quarterback to start. And so that's what kind of separates the two, in my opinion. But both Alabama and LSU have tons of talent and athletes on both sides of the football on their teams. And Alabama number five, remember the name Drake Kilpatrick. This guy is going to be a phenomenal cornerback by the time he comes out of Alabama, would be definitely a top five, top 10 pick.
That's interesting, and, too, because, go ahead. I'll let you finish your thought. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I just, Alabama, not only do with Drake Kilpatrick, they also have a ton of first, second round prospects on their team again this year. So I think the only question mark for them is, can they have a quarterback come in and play right away? And number two, do they have somebody that can replace Julio Jones? I think they'll be fine at running back with Trent Richardson, and they'll be definitely fine on defense.
Yeah. It seems like schools like Alabama and LSU are just kind of like reloading, you know, so you get to the point, too, that, you know, that's probably why I think I had Alabama a little higher, just because there's a lot of question marks in the SEC. Now, granted, you know, Georgia, what's going to happen with Aaron Murray, same thing that's going to happen with Florida. You don't know what's going to happen with those teams. I think it's going to take those teams time to get a little bit better, obviously, with the new coaching with Florida, so and getting that system. So, that's still going to be a challenge. Stanford, like you said, I like them. I'm just not sold just yet as far as the new coaching staff. Hopefully it's a smooth transition. I think I agree with you. I mean, having Andrew Luck is definitely going to put them help them win, like, a lot of games, surefire number one pick, like you said. Hopefully they'll keep him healthy. I don't think they lost a lot this year, so they are definitely trying to make a lot of noise. And then, like you said, LSU, it's reloading. I'm not as sold with Jordan Jefferson as you are, which is why I had him a little lower, just because – you know, hopefully, yeah, he's going to definitely get it this year. And I know Zach Mecklenburg is going to be pushing him to help him get a little bit better too. But you guys definitely always reload, so it's going to be an interesting season, as always, to see what goes down with that. So, yeah, the Florida of the world, what's going to happen with Notre Dame of the world. You know, it's going to be interesting definitely to see what's going to happen with this 2011 season.
Well, one thing is for sure, we will have college football. But
will we have
NFL football as we wrap up the show and maybe squeeze in a little NFL lockout discussion here?
Yeah, we got about 4 minutes to talk about this. Yeah, yeah.
We have one thing for sure is we will have college football, but will we have NFL football? There's even some conversations now of a possible shortened season and 8 games. I can't even fathom that. That would be horrible.
I agree with you. That would be very horrible, too, especially if you're a team. Now, like I said, I hate to be the soapbox and jump on the Falcons bandwagon, but, you know, I'm sure we are definitely excited about, man, we lost pretty bad to the Packers, and everybody's focused. So you're thinking, you know, let's go ahead and get some guys in here, you know, get some free agent targets, maybe a Radwords or something like that, and get that defense solidified. Now it's like we got to wait, you know, and kind of get these new guys acclimated to the system. It's just terrible timing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm a little upset, too, because, you know, everyone keeps talking about, you know, NFL is the golden goose. Everybody loves the NFL. But after a while, you can't keep pushing us to not like what's going on with the owners and the players.
Exactly. For some reason, my gut is starting to tell me that something will be worked out by the end of this month. I think at the latest July, and if it's July, I will say this, if they don't have anything resolved by the end of this month, I think they'll definitely be July. And if it's resolved in July, I think a couple of preseason games will get canceled. Meaning instead of 4, we might have 2 preseason games and then the season. So I think at the most, we're going to lose 2 preseason games. I don't see us losing anything more than that. I still think that cooler heads are going to prevail, and this will be resolved at the latest sometime in July. But I almost have a gut that it may even get resolved by the end of this month. I mean, they're finally sitting down talking every day, which I can't fathom why they didn't do that even last summer.
Yeah, you would think that we would kind of do like a preemptive strike or something like that, you know?
Yeah. Why you to wait till there's actually a lockout before you start sitting down and talking? So that's a little surprising, but I still think that I think we will have a 16-game season. At the most, we may lose 2 preseason games.
Yeah, if we lose 2 preseason games, you know, that'd be worth
it. I don't think fans would be too upset about that.
No. Mm-hmm. Well, Rob, we got a minute left. Let's get some last thoughts in here as we get ready to wrap up another great segment of the Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Any last things you want to say? Well, actually, about 9 seconds left. So any last things you want to say before we wrap the show up?
Well, I guess what's happening right now with the NBA Finals, I think is probably right now the number one sports event that's taking place as of where we speak. And I'm just curious to see what kind of teams are going to show up for the Miami Heat tomorrow. I'm interested to see how LeBron James will bounce back, especially with Deshaun Stevenson said that LeBron James clocked out at the end of the game yesterday.
Wow.
So I'm interested to see if, sometimes you can wake up a sleeping giant. And so you wonder with a comment like that, you know. So I'm kind of interested to see how LeBron James will respond. Did Deshaun Stevenson just wake up a sleeping giant?
Yeah, next week the next time we talk next week we'll have a new NBA champion. So I agree with you. You know, the way that Chalmers was actually talking to Jason Terry and woke him up. So. Same thing. So you don't want to wake that sleeping giant on both sides, but
exactly
that plays out. Yep. But that's it for the show, guys. Thank you for joining in. Talking Sports, the 12th man, Andre Peterson, Rob Ford. Check out the next show. It'll probably be next Wednesday as well. And feel free to post any comments to Facebook or our Facebook page, and we'll get the website up as well. Thanks for joining us, guys.
Good night, people.
And we're off. We're off the show. So this is the official after show. But
all right.
Yeah. Good job. Oh, everything sounds good.
I hope
good.
I wasn't getting, sounding too
flow.
Sleepy tonight.
No, were you a little sleepy?
Yeah, I was.
Man, I'm not gonna lie to you, man.
Not
whenever
to
I got
sound
home,
sleepy, but I.
Nah, you sounded good. You sounded good. It's funny because last time, man, I felt like, man, like, you know, like it takes you a while to get acclimated to the show because you do start getting a little sleepy because that's what happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to get that audio, that show audio, I got to get that down some because whenever it first pops on, there's like an option where I can stop that. I can't really fade it out or anything like that. So I'm trying to get that queued up. But hopefully it didn't sound too obnoxious whenever it first came on, too. So I'm trying to get it to start and then have it, like, stop, you know. So, you know, that'll come. But, yeah, that was good timing. I think definitely good timing as far as we got through all the topics.
Yeah, we got got five subjects in. Last week we only got four subjects in.
Yeah. So we kind of, like I said, about 5 minutes or so per topic, and obviously introduce everyone and kind of what we're going to talk about and go from there. So each show gets really, really better, man. I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. Getting the flow of things.
Yep.
So next week, we'll comment on the new NBA champion, and we can move on to rookie wide receivers in the draft.
Good job. Okay. And you think...
I don't think we have to talk about fullbacks, do we?
No.
We can skip over
fullbacks. Let's skip over fullbacks this time. That's a position that's turning extinct, if you will. So what about Wayne? Any news on Wayne at this juncture, or he's still kind of been crazy busy?
I didn't even reach out to him this time. I know last week he said he was going to be busy. I just figured next time I talk to him, I'll bring it up to him again. But I don't want to, like, you know, keep pushing
him. Yeah, that's cool. I'm sure he'll, whenever we have some time, he'll join it. But, like I said, good insight, man. I definitely, this is cool to hear us kind of, like, talk about some things and get our little sports talk out of our system, you know, which is pretty cool. So, that is the fun part because it's kind of like us just kind of making up stuff on the fly, too. So, but it does fly by pretty quickly, doesn't it? You think we can talk for a minute. I was nervous about that, but...
Well, having an agenda kind of helps, too. And it's 2 weeks in a row we've kind of had something that we had to sneak into the show. Like last week with Ohio State and this week with Terrell Pryor. No, last week it was like Shaquille O'Neal announcing his retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had stuff that we kind of had to sneak in. And so every week it might be something like that. We might have to sneak into the show.
That's fine. It's good to have, you know, we're going to have the agenda down, but then it is good, you know, because you got to obviously talk about things that are going on during the day. So that's going to be, I think, par for the course. So, you know, that's fine. And it makes it, I do make it, like I said, it makes it definitely relevant to what's going on at that particular time, too. So, yeah, that's how it happens in real sports talk. You're like, oh, we'll talk about this, but then, you know, Plaxico coming out. I mean, especially, like you said, if something major happens with the lockout, you know, we can talk about that. And then, you know, anything happens as far as any big trades that go down or, you know, you never know what's going to happen. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so next week we can talk about the NBA Finals, rookie wide receivers. Like you said, what team will be a good fit for Plaxico Burress?
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and chop this down here. So we got the NBA Finals champ. We've got the rookie wide receivers, and then we've got what team is going to be a fit for Plaxico.
Mm-hmm.
Plaxico, I shot myself accidentally in the leg for us. You think it's over for Randy Moss?
I don't think so.
Wow, okay. Focus on that, too. That may be a good question to have next week because at this juncture, talk about somebody who was an impact player, and then all of a sudden, you know, there's a couple of free agent wide receivers that are surprisingly out there. Terrell Owens, Randy Moss. Lucius Tinko out there, too. Interesting, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get a chance to listen to any shows yet, or did I have to send you the, little Dropbox thing, don't I, for you to hear those, right?
Oh, man. I have it on my iPhone 4 Dropbox.
Oh, do you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I just hadn't had a chance to listen to them.
But did you get the did you get my invitation to the link, though, or no?
I believe so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I did send that to you. Okay. Yeah, good deal. I just want to make sure that you actually got that, because I think I put all the blog posts actually in those two folders. So, yeah, okay, it's on there. I got last week was the 6-1, right? Okay. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So they're there. We got all, I think we've done three shows, if I'm not mistaken. This is the fourth. So it looks like three of them are actually on there, and then once this is finished, we'll go ahead and I'll export that and add that as well.
Okay, cool.
So there you go. All right, sir, you sound tired like me, man. I got to take the puppies out and everything like that. But good show, man.
No, I'm exhausted.
Yeah, each show we get a little better, man. So by show 10, then we should have this down to a science, you know?
Oh, yeah, we're doing pretty good now.
We're getting in a nice little groove. Yeah, is there a pause whenever I talk, or is it kind of a delay or anything like that, or is it pretty instantaneous, or does it take a while for me to kind of interject?
No, I don't see any problem with anything. Everything seems to be flowing a lot smoother.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We're getting the hang of it.
Yeah, like I said, you know, if you ever want to lead something, just give me a heads up and say, you know, I'll lead the show and I'll kind of like step back and let you kind of do what you got to do too. So, you know, we'll get the introduction down and fly through that. But yeah, good job.
All right, Chief.
All right, Chief. Like I said, another successful show. We'll definitely connect again.
All right, Doc. All right, man. We'll catch up pretty soon, I'm sure.
All right. All right, sounds good. All right, bye.
Bye.